From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Senate Republicans have thwarted a plan for a vote on a proposal to create a national single-payer health care system. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
No one expected the amendment to the health overhaul bill offered by Vermont independent Bernie Sanders to pass. It would have replaced the bill with a proposal to effectively let everyone in the country join a Medicare-like program run by the federal government. But it would have been the first time the Senate had voted on such a plan. Sanders pulled the amendment, though, after Republicans forced the entire proposal, more than 700 pages, to be read aloud. With time running short for the bill's consideration, that would have taken too much time. Sanders gave in after about 3 hours and 100 pages. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
It's being described as the largest forfeiture of its type, a $536 million fine that Credit Suisse Group has agreed to pay to settle a Justice Department investigation into a scheme authorities say enabled rogue players, including Iran, to access U.S. markets. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, in announcing the settlement, said the U.S. will also go after other institutions and individuals that carry out similar activities.
The settlement ensures that Credit Suisse will not flout the law again for its own financial gain, and I can assure you that we will be vigilant in enforcing the settlement and in pursuing other institutions and individuals who engage in similar illegal conduct.
The bank has agreed to enter a deferred prosecution agreement that ended a five-year investigation by authorities in what was described as a decades-long scheme. As expected, the Federal Reserve announced it is keeping interest rates near zero for what it calls an extended period. Fed watchers say the central bank wants to make sure the economy's sluggish recovery picks up steam. Daniel Carson reports.
The Fed came out with the same song from last month. There's no rush to boost its benchmark interest rates and risk rocking the boat while the economy is recovering.
It looks like they're going to stay with their current policy, looking at economic activity continuing to pick up, but inflation staying low or subdued, as they would call it. Most economists would agree the economy certainly has improved, the labor market has improved, and consumer spending is coming in a little bit better than people had expected.
John Sylvia is chief economist with Wells Fargo. He says the most recent key indicators support the Fed's rosier assessment of the economy. The Fed plans to throttle back its emergency programs to stabilize the economy starting February 1st. A good thing, says Sylvia, given the assistance has doubled the size of the Fed's balance sheets. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
Home builders were busier last month as milder weather in a number of areas of the country led to increased construction. Commerce Department says construction of new single-family homes and apartments rose 9%. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 10 points to close at 10,441. The Nasdaq gained 5 points. This is NPR. The White House, in another sternly worded warning to Iran, said today the country is running out of time to head off international sanctions over its lack of cooperation over its nuclear program. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said the country still has time to meet its international obligations to rein in the program, but he said that time will run out, and when that happens, Western powers will take action. The White House says that could include the development of further sanctions against Iran, which could be imposed next year. Iran has claimed its nuclear program is for electricity generation. Two of Dubai's top officials will be paying visits to Britain and the U.S. in coming days. A government spokesman said today the stops are part of an effort, part of the Emirate, to rebuild confidence in its financial status after problems with the government-backed company Dubai World. Researchers say a disease called white nose syndrome has killed more than 90% of the bats in caves across the Northeast. North Country Public Radio's Brian Mann has more.
White nose is a nasty fungus first identified just 3 years ago. New York State biologist Al Hicks, who co-authored this report, says the most common bat species have been pushed to the brink of extinction.
There's no indication at all that the spread is slowing down. We've lost somewhere in the vicinity of 93% of little brown bats.
Jeremy Coleman, the National White Nose Coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, says he expects the disease to spread this winter into new caves in states as far away as the Midwest. With hundreds of thousands of animals already dead, scientists are scrambling to develop a fungicide that will kill white nose spores. For NPR News, I'm Brian Mann in Westport, New York.
Crude oil futures prices rose $1.97 a barrel to close at $72.66 a barrel in New York today. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.